Blog Talk Radio.
Take all of me,
Everything I am, everything I have is yours. I yield to you. I surrender to you. I give my life to you. Everything I am is yours. Everything I have is yours. I'm yours. I don't hold back anything. I don't hold back anything. Everything I have, everything I am yours. I'm yours. My dreams are yours. My future is yours. My possession, yours. My family, yours. My finances, yours. My talent, my gifts are yours. My whole body belongs to you. My agenda is yours. Everything I have, everything I am, 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 everything I have, everything I am. It's yours. 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 Everything I am, yours. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. Everything I have is yours. All I want is your presence, Jesus. I just want your glory. I just want your presence in my life. I don't care about anything else. You can do with me as you please. I am yours. Oh Lord, I am yours. I am yours. Thank you.
all of me. Thank you, Jesus. We ask you to take all of us, Lord. Take all of us, Lord. We're asking you to take all of us, Lord Jesus. You're listening to Prophetic Outreach Chapel, Cleveland-LRMG. And I'm the Apostle Thorner-Kirkendall, the Senior Pastor. Our address is 12025 Griffin Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio, 44120. Our phone number is area code 216-538-0432. Amen. And before I pray, I'm going to give you a chance to get these scriptures so you have them. The scriptures are Acts 2:7-11 is where I'm going to take some passages from. We're not going to read them, but you can read them yourself. Acts 1:5-8. Matthew 28:19. I will repeat those. I'm going to take the contents of body of work from Acts 2:7-11. So you can read that in your own hearing. And then Acts 1:5-8. Matthew 28:19. Mark 16:15. Amen. Hopefully you, those who are in radio land and in the audience, have time to write them down. Now, as we go before the throne of grace, Father God, here we are. All of us, Lord, however we are, whatever condition we are in, Lord, here we are. We come before you humbly as we know how, asking, Lord, look on us today. Have mercy on us today. Lord, we need your grace. We need your power. We need your anointing. We need your love. We need your compassion. We need your healing power. We need your delivering power. Lord, we need you right now. Lord, come no more in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, you know who we are. Lord, you know our names, Lord. You know our location. Hallelujah. Lord, you are all-seeing God, all-knowing God, and Lord, you are in control. No matter what it looks like, God, you are still on your throne. You have not lost control, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, hallelujah, that's still making intercessory. Lord, we thank you because you didn't have to do it, but you did. We thank you, Jesus, right now because you're on the throne. You're on your right hand of your Father making intercessory prayer. Oh, Jesus, we need you right now. We need you to come, Lord, right now. Send on your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Send on your anointing right now. In the name of Jesus, help us to break down the stronghold with your word. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Baba, hey, yes, Lord. Remove fear and doubt in the name of Jesus, Lord, because it's all about you. It's all about you, Lord. We come here for no other reason but to praise you. We come here with all the Ashanda. We come here for no other reason but to give you the glory. Hey, Lord, we magnify your name today. Lord, you said in all things, give thanks. Lord, Lord, we're giving thanks right now. We thank you, God, because you are God of mercy and a God of another chance. Oh, Jesus, we need you right now. Hey, come on in the room, Lord. Yes, Lord, touch right now. Yes, Lord, we need you to come on in. Touch these old bodies. In the name of Jesus, come on in. Touch these minds. In the name of Jesus, come on in. Yes, Lord, quicken these souls. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, help us to say yes. Yes to your will and way. Help us to be moved by your Spirit, help us to yield to the unctioning of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I want you to know God is real and there is no failure in God. The failure is in us. But all you got to do is let go and let God have his way in you, and it'll be worked out according to his will and purpose for you in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen and amen. My topic is lose your seat. Can you say it with me? Lose your seat. Amen. I want to start with, this is being International Day. Amen. And some of us might say, well, how is it International Day? Why do we keep having International Day? Well, I want you to know that God is just not a local God. Amen. God is just not in the center of your world and your world only. Amen. God is all over this world that he made. Amen. And as such, we have a duty that we must do. Amen. And if you have read Acts 2:7-11, that you know that this was talking about the day of Pentecost. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, there were a certain amount of people that were there. As you can see from the convention, they came from all over the regions. They had came from countries, different countries, and different towns and cities. So it was an international, if you will, gathering. Amen. But on the day of Pentecost, that international day, there were 18 languages spoken to meet the 18 countries represented there. Can you say amen? And, you know, if there were more, I'm only going by what was listed in that scripture that day. But think about that. 18 different languages were spoken in tongues so that the 18 countries that were represented there could understand God's work. Amen? Oh, somebody don't hear me. Amen. Why was this important? Because there were also 12 disciples there. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, they were there to deliver God's message. Amen. They were there to let people know how to be on one accord. And when they came on one accord, and when the time had presented itself, there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Amen. And then the Lord began to speak through these disciples what the language he wanted them to hear, his word and his power. Amen. But here's the ultimate important part of the lesson that I want to give you. These 12 disciples, after Pentecost, after that convention had happened, these 12 disciples, they were sent out into other nations. And what did they have to do? To teach and preach. Amen. Then these 18 people, the people that came from these 18 countries, there at Pentecost, they had to go back home, amen. And when they went back home, they were not the same. Now these people were saved, sanctified, Holy Spirit filled, amen. They were charged with going back to teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. You see, there became an international gathering that then went out and did an international thing when they went out to preach and tell of his, and make known of his goodness. Amen. Somebody help me today. The point being said is they had to come together so they can get what they needed to go out. Amen. They could no longer sit down. The apostles could have been sit down there, but they had to get out their seat in order to do what God had given them to do. Amen. Sometimes we just so caught up in our seat and in our familiar surroundings, but I want you to know that that is not our purpose, to just come here and sit down within these walls. Amen. There is something that happens after an occurrence with Christ in your life. Amen. Something happens, you're not the same. I don't care how you have an encounter with Christ, how you have an encounter, there's something brand new about you once you surrender. Amen. It is important to receive water baptism. Yes. It's nice to have it. Amen. We know that that symbolically represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Amen. Nevertheless, though, some of us go down as tools of the devil. Amen. Before we went down, we were tools of the devil, and then we went down and we came up with tools of the devil. So what did it happen with that baptism? Did you have a change of heart? Did you have a change of mind? Were you now an instrument that God can use if you were still a devil before? And if we like to say you were the devil before, you were a dry devil and just came up a wet devil, you're still a devil. Amen. However, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, once you have that, that can occur. You can't be a devil and be baptized, amen? Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can't and will not occupy an unclean tool of the devil. Can you say amen? You might be asking, what are you saying? Let me tell you something so that you can understand. It says, know ye not that ye are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is what? Holy. Which, you ask the question now, which temple ye are? So if you are got an unclean vessel, no Holy Ghost is going to dwell in your body. Amen? If you are a tool of the devil, no Holy Spirit is going to dwell in your body. Amen? So the point over here is once you have gotten to the point of where you need to be so that God can come in and work in you, you've got to lose that seat. Amen? Read if you will read.
For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know time or season, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.
Amen. Now, did it say once you receive power, go and find your seat in the temple? Go find your seat in the sanctuary. Go find your seat in the chapel. Did it say go find your seat, write your name on it? Did it say do that? No, it did not. Did it say, well, now that you're saved and you're sanctified and you have the Holy Spirit, that you can now get in your comfort zone and find all the things that give you comfort? Did it tell you to do that? When these people received something, it made them have to move. Because I want you to know, if you're truly saved and sanctified and your Holy Spirit filled, help me, Holy Ghost, and your fire baptized, you got to move. Amen? I don't know of any power that's something to receive, even electricity. When you want something to go, you got to plug it into the power source. Amen? Because before it has power, it won't work. But once it received the power of the Holy Spirit, then they got something to work with. And not only did they get something to work with, they were given some instructions. Amen? So once you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you shall receive, what's the word? Power. Now, I'll tell you, though, then you're going to have to do something with that power, because what's the point of having power and you never do anything with it? Amen? What's the point of having power when the only thing you do is sleep? What is the point of having power? When you have power, you've got to do something, amen? It told her to go out and witness to the othermost parts of the earth. Witness is an action word, amen? How can you witness to someone when you won't even move, when the Holy Spirit moves you to move? How can you witness to someone when there's no action in the power that you have? It's the power to keep you, you know, bound down in your seat. Amen. Not talking about getting up and only testifying at a people at worship service or Bible study. That's a beautiful thing, amen. We got to testify and make known of his deeds and of goodness. But when it's talking about going out and losing out your seat, that means you're not so concerned about just coming here and letting the saints know what God had done for you. But yes, because see, they overcame by the words of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. But get up off your seat and let this dying world know what Jesus did for you. Get up off your seat and tell this dying world that Jesus saved. How do you know they saved? Because he saved me. Because I used to be in the condition that you're in. But one day, Jesus came into my life, and then I received the power of the Holy Spirit, which quickened my normal, my natural body, and he removed all those things. He gave me the power to resist the devil. He gave me the power to stay saved and sanctified. Oh, bless his name. You got to get up off your seat and tell somebody, what God has done for you. Amen. You're not just charged with keeping that seat warm. Your posterior keeping that seat warm may not do anything for anybody else. And, oh, God, don't let us get so attached to our seat. When visitors come and they sit down in your seat and we are so enamored with our seat that we want to have an issue. Well, yes, my seat, you can't sit there. No, you need to sit somewhere else because I sit on there every Saturday, every Tuesday, every Sunday. You know, we can get so caught up in our placement of where we sit in there that we forget about what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? Because maybe that very person is sitting in your seat. You should take the time and introduce yourself and welcome them and make them feel the love of God. And maybe you need to sit next to, behind, or maybe just an introduction would lead you into giving them a testimony. Amen? You need to get out your seat. Stop being complacent and just coming to the sanctuary. And some of you, I'm talking about a different seat. Some of you so complacent in the seat in your house that you won't even come to the house of worship. Amen. You got that best seat in the house. You know that recliner, that seat that they're so comfortable. That you know, I watch what I forget the show is, but this young man, he has a certain seat on the couch, and if you sit in there, it's a problem. Amen. Some of us are just like this show. We are so comfortable in our seat that it prevents us from doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Some of us are so comfortable in our seat, in our cars. We are so comfortable. You know what? Nobody else can sit next to us because it's our car. God bless us with that, and I don't want to be crowded. You come up with all kinds of excuses why you just stay in your seat and not trying to expand your horizon and do what the Lord told you to do, because he told you to what? Go out. Go out. And do what? We are supposed to go out and work, preach, and teach the gospel. You are supposed to let people know in this dying world that Jesus is soon to what? He is soon to come. What good is you to have that God done did all this work in your life? He done came in and made all these miraculous changes in your life, and you're a brand new creature. What good is it for you to be a brand new creature and you not tell someone what God has done? Maybe just your testimony may prevent them from wanting to go commit suicide, because maybe your testimony has finally gives them some relief, because the devil has them all bound and torn up and think there's no hope, there's no way out. Then comes along you out of your seat to wish them a kind word. That just because that breaks the ice, and then you have an opportunity to witness to him or her or them, and you don't know what impact that your testimony, your kind word has on somebody else, amen? But you can't do it sitting on your seat. And you can't always do it just coming to church, because the world is bigger than however many walls are in your church, your chapel, your temple, your whatever. There's a great big world out there that goes beyond the confinement of the walls, amen? Next scripture, Breeder.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. There's another action word here. It says what? Go. Now, if you go, you can take your seat with you. Amen. I know some of us, maybe we can take our seat with us. It got wheels on it. If that's what you got to do, take your seat with you. If you're in your wheelchair, take your seat. I'm not talking about that kind of seat. I'm talking about where we get comfortable in it. And we have used that even as an excuse why you can't go. If you can go to the doctor in your wheelchair, go shopping, go wherever it is in your wheelchair, that means you can what? Go. If you have one of those Cadillacs, we call it, where you got a seat on there, so when you get tired, you can rest, got a little basket underneath it, and you're walking around, that means you can go. Go. So, therefore, we are able to go out. And when you have been instructed, as it says in the Bible, to go out there, you have a responsibility to what? Teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are responsible then to what? It says baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, while you're out there teaching and preaching, you know, you ought to be trying to win some souls, amen? And then once you get them interested and you have planted that seed and you keep working with them, keep praying for them, and then once they get saved, there's more than just getting saved, amen? You got to teach them about the baptism and filling of the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. You got to teach them about, you know, going down in the water, which is symbolic of the death, burial, son, hey, and resurrection. But you got to teach them that there is what? A Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. But then it said, we'll just go, maybe we'll just go to our corner store and tell the man at the run the store about all of this. Amen. Maybe we just go and we just talk to our mother or sister or brother and we okay, amen? But no, the Bible says go to what? All nations. All nations. Someone might say, I may not have a passport yet, but I bet you look over there, you may not have a passport, but you all over Facebook. What is that? All nations are accessible to Facebook. You may not have a passport, but you on Twitter and FaceTime and everything else. Try using that for some constructive time, amen, because now, you know, around the world, it's as close as our device in our hands, amen, so we don't have that excuse now, I need a passport. No, you have a device, and we use it oftentimes for constructive things. It can be used for us, but a lot of times, we use it the past time, destructive thing, gossip, everything but the right thing. Go to what? All nations, amen. Thank you, Jesus, to all nations. So what happens once you go there? Give me Mark 16 and 15.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
So, in all the to go everywhere means you got to get out your seat. Means you got to get up and do something. This is a call to action message. You've got to do something, because if you look at what's going on, the signs of the times, if you look at everything that's going on, the Bible is being fulfilled right before your eyes. If ever there was a time to get out of your seat, it's right now, because somebody thinks that things are going on, it's just crazy. They don't understand that if they read the Bible and go to Revelation, it will tell them what's happening today and why and things to come. You got to let somebody know that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control, that Jesus is coming back soon, sooner than we think. But the question is, will you be ready? It says, go into all the world. It said, preach, which is telling the good news of the gospel to every creature. So don't say, well, I'm not a pastor, I don't have that calling, I'm not an evangelist. You, if you are saved, you are a disciple for Christ. And you ought to be out there as an ambassador telling about Jesus. Everywhere you go, you ought to have some kind of connection to somebody. If we just make a difference to one person in the world, you know you have done your job. When you get up in the morning and say, well, Lord, help me to help somebody. Direct me, Lord, to somebody where I can make a difference and make known of your deeds and that I can be a help to somebody. Amen? And I want you to know, as long as you live, you are an ambassador of the disciple. Long as you live, you should lose your seat and do the work for the Lord. Amen? Because in our own mission statement says here, it says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highway and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Luke 14:23. There again is a reference to what? Go out. You can't get in the hedges and the highway if you're stuck in your seat, in your house, in your temple, wherever your place of worship. You got to get out. You got to get out and do, put your work in. The first lady preached about put your time in, because payday is coming after a while. Do you know what it's like to have worked all week, and then when it comes payday and they have no money for you? No check, no money, because guess what? They said, well, your work didn't count. Can you imagine the feeling of that you don't sit up there and you were supposed to have been at work? You had clocked in your time, but you went off and did some other things, and nobody said anything to you. You know what to do. And you keep doing this at the end of the time. Come catch the paycheck, they say, well, you clocked in and you clocked out. But you didn't do any work. Only thing you did was clock in and clock out. And every day I come past, you over there running your mouth with Sister So-and-so over there stuffing your face, but you're not putting your work in. So it all counts for nothing. Or you have put the time in and been doing the wrong thing, and then at the end of the paycheck, not only do you not have a paycheck, but now you owe money. Have you been thinking about that? You're expecting a paycheck to pay your bills, but because you were doing the wrong thing, now it comes time for you to get paid, but you got to pay up because you didn't do the right thing. I don't want to get to on that judgment seat and expecting to get a payday, which is going to heaven, but now I got to pay up and go to hell because I didn't go out. I didn't lose my seat. I didn't think about what I had. The gift that I had was so important and worth telling. Instead, I let myself get complacent. I let myself get cold. I let myself be in a backsliding condition because I was just so complacent in my seat. And I was on my way to heaven anyhow. I would say as I close, if you are saved, sanctified, Holy Spirit filled, allegedly you fire baptized. I don't know about you, but fire gets you to moving. You know, you stir it up and get to moving, that you fire baptized, then you need not to be comfortable in your seat. You ought to be out witnessing. And I will say this as I close. I know once I was someplace, the Lord gave me some instruction to do, and I was trying not to do it because it was a formality. They had already did. They had already basically bore down to the Lord, told me to pray for someone. Well, they had already had a general prayer. And so I told the pastor, well, I want to pray for that person, you know, afterwards when he prayed with me. And so he decided that we should pray again. Well, I said, well, Lord, I wasn't asking for that. But I only went to that point when my seat kept being so hot that I could no longer sit in there. I was twitching and turning because the longer I sat there trying to not be yielding to the Holy Spirit, the hotter and more uncomfortable that seat got. And I finally had to get up there and yield to the Holy Spirit and tell what I had to do. And once I got up and told the pastor what's what, and we went to prayer, you know, then I felt that anointing burning, and it moved in the whole sanctuary. But long as I sat there in that seat, let me tell you how uncomfortable it was. I have never probably twist and turn in a seat so much, and it was like it was on fire. But that was just me being not obedient to what the Lord was telling me. Amen. So you can either do it on your own, but the Lord can get you to the point where he wants you to move. He can make your seat feel just like that wherever you are, to the point where they say you've got to move. Move on your own. And lastly, or he'll make it to the point where you wish you would have. you wish you would have did obeyed. You look and you come to your senses and things happen to you and you're just going through, and then the Lord bring you back to you. I told you what to do, this, that, and the other. And you're going through because you are hard-headed, disobedient, just stubborn. The Lord can make it come to pass, so that you would do what you're supposed to do. Now, he's not going to force you to do anything, but I'm going to tell you, it's better to do it of your own free will, yielding to the Holy Spirit, than to go through something because you were hard-headed. So I would tell you, lose your seat and go out and let this dying world know that Jesus saves to the utmost. Jesus saves. Amen. And while this song is playing, if there's one, and those of you who are ready to land, whether you can hear the song or not, we're playing about there's something happened when you call him. Oh, when you call the name of Jesus, there's something happens. But you got to be in that position. You have to have a made-up mind and willing to call the name Jesus. Don't wait until you're in trouble and then you're trying to call him. But call him now while you have a chance, amen. It is someone that wants prayer at the end of the song. Just stand where you are, and we'll have prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.